97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and we have a very interesting show for you today because we are talking with Mike Benson and his daughters, Isabel and Stella. Welcome, Benson family.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Why are we doing this, you might wonder? Well, I wanted to have Mike on the show because Mike is a person who has lived his life very out loud and, like, with no boundaries is how I would put you living your life. How would you describe your choice of your life?
Very artsy and creative.
Yeah, very artsy and creative. And I think one of the things that we do in our own lives, at least I do, is get stuck thinking inside a box. And so there's no better person to get us unstuck than Mike Benson. So that is why we are here today. And if he says anything that's not true, we have two very good little girls here who are going to let us know that, you know, making sure their dad is doing the right thing.
Our two little magpie judges.
That's right. All right, Mike, so let's talk about your philosophy. How do you approach life?
Well, I mean, it's evolved over the years. I think back in the 80s, when I started after, 85, graduating Chapel High School, my philosophy was a lot like Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And it was like, what do you got to do to have a good time, go surfing, kind of live to the in a very minimal way so that in a moment's notice you could put everything you own into a car and move, which happened a couple times. And then as time progressed, you become more responsible and you start taking jobs and you start seeing the world and traveling and visiting other cultures and went to art school and I went to UNC and took every art class at UNC, and eventually they caught me for not taking any math classes. And my advisor, Mrs. Usherman, said, you really should just go to art school if this is the path you're taking. So I went to College of Art and Design, graduated from there in 93, married my high school sweetheart, Christy Benson, and we met at Chapel High.
All right, there you go. Go Chapel High.
Yeah, where people meet and some people take off, like Hampton right. Dillinger. Some people really go places. And then we lived in Chapel Hill while she got her undergrad and then her two graduate degrees at Carolina. She got a JD MBA at UNC. And then she got a job in Washington, D.C.
So I just want to stop a moment because here you are, Mr. Arts Guy. There you know, UNC finally catches you. They're like, you haven't taken probability and statistics. And you were like, well, because I don't want to. Like, why
exactly.
would I bother to do that? Because I don't really see the point. So off you go to Savannah. In the meantime, Christy, is she the same age as you? Is she?
1 year younger.
1 year younger. So, you know, a JD MBA kind of program, that's a lot of drive. That's a lot of intense academics. And
during that time, we actually, with the Kenan Institute, we spent almost 6 months living in Bangkok.
Wow.
While she was doing an internship in Bangkok. And I ended up getting work with USAID and various other
projects.
Now,
how did you pull this off, thinking you're Spicoli? I mean, Spicoli and USAID, I'm sorry, but it's not connect. You've got to connect the dots because it's just not working for me.
I think sometimes you just fall into things.
Okay.
You know, it all happened very quickly when Christy said, I have an opportunity to go live in Bangkok with the MBA program. And since I'm going to be there, it's only the cost of airfare if you want to go, which at the time was insurmountable and there was like no way.
Right.
So we went to the Kenan Institute and Dr. Casarda basically said, well, we could always use a documentary photographer. And I'm like, well, by golly, I have a BFA in photography and I could be your photographer. And instead of paying me a fee, why don't we do airfare and I'll live with Christy? And he said that should work out good, and Kenan Institute approved it. And then when I was boots on the ground in Thailand, USAID was almost in the same office as where Kenan Institute, and they're like, we need work. And, you know, it just one thing kept leading to another, and Thailand was fascinating. So all of a sudden, I was in Vietnam and Malaysia, and it was a fascinating place to be in the mid-90s.
So, okay, so I'm still putting all this together in my mind. You go to Savannah, you come back, you're a photographer. You got this girlfriend, she's like, I'm off to Bangkok. You're like, okay, USAID pulls through. Next thing you know, you're in Vietnam in the 90s. What's your, like, tell me what that was like.
It was incredible. I mean, in July of 95, we were the first Americans over. Yeah, Clinton had literally just signed the order normalizing relations with Vietnam.
And so their first impression of American is you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bermuda shorts and funky glasses and a guy that likes to drink a lot of beer, which I think smooths things over quite often. When there's
sure
a language barrier,
right. Have a beer.
Have a beer and nod at each other and grin. Yeah. It seems to do a lot sometimes.
Now, the whole smiling thing, I tell people, when you go abroad, if you smile, it just says, I'm not interested in hurting you. And, you know,
exactly.
You can usually start from there. It's a good starting place. Okay, so she's in Bangkok. You're both in Vietnam. You're new to Vietnam. They look at you like, okay, this is what America looks like. You take pictures. Then you come back and...
And then I was while Christy was finishing, I was kind of documenting the whole music scene that was going on.
In Chapel Hill around?
Just in Chapel Hill at the time.
Okay.
And particularly at Local 506, they used to have an event called Sleaze Fest every year, and I became the official photographer for it, which was an unpaid position.
I love how you put that on your resume, though.
Yeah.
And document Sleaze Fest.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, everyone from, you know, Southern Culture on the Skids and Ronnie Dawson and the Amazing Dolores and Dexter Romweber. And it was just, it was an amazing situation to be photographing. And ironically now, I'm in the process of donating a lot of work to the Southern Folklife Collection.
Oh, yep.
Southern Culture on the Skids is about to be honored
by the
Southern Folklife Collection. So now it's all come full circle. I'm donating
How
all this work from Sleaze Fest to the Wilson Library, Southern Folklife. It's all that kind of place of honor now. It's pretty amazing. And then Christy, while I was in the middle of photographing bands and working at Pepper's Pizza and Mondo Bistro, which some people will remember, and which actually got my foot in the door for the restaurant business, was Rick Robinson at Mondo Bistro. Really was an amazing restaurateur.
Okay.
And he's in, I believe he's in Brooklyn right now. And then we moved to Washington, D.C. because Christy took a job at a law firm after she graduated. And I worked briefly for UPI and realized...
As a photographer. Yep.
Realized there was, when you start at the bottom at UPI, you're not jumping out of helicopters in third world countries. You are sitting in a Pentagon briefing for several hours, and then the photograph you're taking is unsellable. Then you come back, and all the older guys laugh at you. And eventually, I was just like, this isn't going to work. I need something more exciting.
Yes.
So worked some odd jobs in advertising and graphic design. And then we moved to Geneva, Switzerland, and lived there for 6 months while Christy worked for the WTO. She was on loan from her law firm. And while I was there, I worked for some music magazines in Europe and traveled and did a bunch of travel photography and used the opportunity to go visit places I've wanted to see friends who, like, you know, hey, Sammy Slade is living in Barcelona.
Right.
I'm like, hey, I can get a $40 airfare from Geneva to Barcelona. So away I went and would spend, much to Sammy's younger sister's dismay, I was supposed to be there for 3 days and I stayed for 2 weeks. But Barcelona was too much fun to turn down.
Oh, yeah.
And after we got back from Geneva, I opened a gallery, and the gallery was on at 14th and P in Washington, D.C.
Now, so I want to, before you jump there, so you're kind of seizing life's moments. So you're staying with Marcella in Barcelona. You know, you're having that. But the whole time, Christy's kind of doing her thing, and you're along, not for the ride, because you're clearly, like, you know, doing stuff, but... To go from that to, like, oh, I'm going to open an art gallery, like, that's a whole entrepreneurial experience.
Yeah, and I think it came from when we moved back from Geneva. Christy was incredibly supportive and understanding, because I said, I really don't want to go back to work at an ad agency again. And
she looked at you and she said, okay, that makes sense.
She said, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I think that I could open an art gallery.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about Art Galleries DC, Buddy Holly, and learning to, you know, like your locals. You're listening to the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemster with The Art of Potential Show, and we are talking about the colorful like of Mike Benton. So, Mike, we were just talking. You were saying that you opened this art gallery at 14th and P, and if you're familiar with D.C., back in the 90s, was that?
This would have been the late 90s.
Late 90s.
2000.
You know,
a millennium.
It was a colorful area with lots of exciting and interesting people.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your experience living there.
It was, you know, D.C. was going through a huge transition, particularly right at the millennium and the neighborhood we were at 14th and T Street.
There was a lot of money around there, actually, during the millennium.
Yeah. Well, and the money was in Adams Morgan.
Yep.
And everyone kept thinking Mount Pleasant was going to boom, and Georgetown, obviously. A. Poland did an amazing job with reinventing the whole Penn Quarter where the Caps play. And nobody thought 14th Street was going to do anything. I didn't know if it was going to do anything, but it was, the time was, made rents very affordable. Lots of colorful artistic people, bands. The Black Cat is right there, and 930 Club's around the corner. Ben's Chili Bowl is still there. And the art gallery became well known enough that I ended up on the cover of the style section of the Washington Post.
Which is no easy feat. That's a pretty coveted place to be.
And the bad side of it was, Christy basically said, as your wife and your lawyer, I'm telling you, you need to really start thinking about licensing and everything else. You can't just live under the radar anymore.
Right.
You are now on the radar. So we thought long and hard about it.
You're on the style section of the Post, honey. Right.
I took with a couple of friends, a motorcycle trip where we rode motorcycles from Washington, D.C. To the bottom of Mexico, to the Guatemalan border, and then back to D.C.
Why?
I was documenting it.
Okay.
I was going to have a show at my gallery and decided.
Now, this sounds like a really interesting vehicle for your lifestyle is what I'm hearing. I'll open a gallery and then I'll have to go take pictures to put in it. I like this.
I kept thinking, like, I know what kind of show I could do. Why don't we ride motorcycles? We actually thought we'd get through Guatemala, but it turns out when you enter into Mexico on a motorcycle. And granted, this was after a few days just getting to Mexico. You have to pay a fee and you put a sticker on the motorcycle. And when you leave, they scrape the sticker off the bike so you don't sell it down there. And when we got to the border in Guatemala, we didn't have the right stickers to pass through the border. Or we didn't realize we had to pay somebody some more money.
Right.
And at that point, we were already hitting the 3.5 week mark. And we were like, maybe we should turn and head back.
Yeah.
And I would call Christy from payphones and she seemed to be getting more annoyed that this trip wasn't just 2 weeks and it was getting longer.
All right. So driving through, so it didn't even faze you that you were going to go through Mexico on a motorcycle. Like that didn't cross your mind as maybe something unusual?
Yeah. It just seemed adventurous, fun, cameras.
Yeah.
I have this kind of old school notion of doing things sometimes. I love the old journalism stories. You know, I'm a huge fan of Hemingway and, you know, just jumping into the back of a Jeep and saying, let's go, and, or jumping into a boat and let's go. And sometimes if you wait for stuff to happen, it's not going to happen. You've just got to make it happen sometimes. And so that was one of those instances where, I made it happen.
Yes, you did.
And I have the photos to prove it.
That's right. Unfortunately, you still have Christy, so.
Yes. Again, very supportive. She was toiling away in the law firm there and was doing an amazing job. She was working on amazing cases with Japanese steel and everything else. Her story is fascinating, too, where she was really had her. When you saw the headlines on CNN or whatever, those trade cases were stuff that she was working on at the time.
So you're on the style section of the Post, and she's making CNN headlines.
Yeah,
working on
exactly.
Nice. All right. That's what we call a power couple, folks. That's power couple in D.C. language.
She is, and to this day is phenomenal. She's doing, branching out even more. But I guess, and then after the gallery, we had to make a decision: either beef up the gallery and get all the licenses and everything, or why not just open a bar?
Because really, this is what this is.
And the money side, I realized very quickly was in doing alcohol sales,
right.
And I really loved the artist that I was working with, and I kept saying it's a 40% commission. And then when it was done, I'm like, oh, I'll just take 10%. You guys are so cool, and you deserve the money. And then I would have to pay rent, and I'm like, that's why we're selling beer and wine. And so I didn't make a whole lot of money in the gallery business, mm-hmm. but it led to doing Cafe St. X at 14th and T, mm-hmm. which used to be an Ethiopian restaurant, and The Ethiopian restaurant was a unlicensed gambling den for taxi cabs, particularly Ethiopian cab drivers.
Uh-huh. And there are quite a few Ethiopian restaurants. Okay,
yeah.
So they had the one of the shadier ones. Huh?
And I would go down in the basement and chew cot, and I think they always kept a 12-pack of Heineken handy for when I would visit because they didn't drink. I would drink all the Heineken and chew cot until I turned sick and lose $30-$40 gambling, and then say, well, I'm going to go home. And eventually they were like, this guy obviously is not an undercover policeman.
Right.
And so then they would send me on my way, and eventually I met with the owner. I had to find out who he was, and I said, I would really like to open a cafe. And he said, why don't you just buy this? I'm ready to move to somewhere in southern Maryland where the police aren't watching us all the time. So we worked it out, and I took it over. And
okay, wait, there's a gap in the story, though. How did you end up in the Ethiopian gambling den?
I mean, they were my neighbors, and I was teaching photography at Martha's Table on the side.
And Martha's Table is a place that feeds homeless folks around D.C.
Right, and occasionally walking from my house to Martha's Table, I would get robbed.
Yeah.
And
occasionally, it's one of those days.
So I would pull a knife, and then my daughter's letting me know this is almost the point where I was born.
Yeah.
And so I would have a knife pulled on me, and luckily people were either inebriated or whatever. They were easy to fend off. It was almost kind of cartoonish being robbed by someone who could barely stand. And the people in the Ethiopian restaurant would sometimes just watch out the windows, and I'd come walking by and they would invite me in, and they're really genuinely nice people.
So you are well known in the Ethiopian community in the D.C. area.
I think in the neighborhood, I was just very well known.
Okay, because you had the parties with the gallery.
Yeah,
yes.
And then when bands would play 9:30 Club, like Ron Weber, he played in my living room. Southern Culture on the Skids played in my living room when we on 13th Street.
So the club shuts down at what, 3?
So they would, the 9:30 Club would shut down about midnight.
Okay.
And then the party would come to my house.
So did your neighbors like you?
Yeah.
Okay, well that's good because
it was a predominantly, and ironically we were kind of the neighborhood was overwhelmingly gay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the pioneers who were coming in and buying row houses and fixing
them up nicely.
And we were the straight couple that came in and they adopted us, and they loved the parties we threw. I think we fit in well with the kind of the flamboyant, crazy late night parties, not wearing shirts, and bands playing and face sparkle and stuff.
Yes, no, well that's good because it's not exactly an environment that if you're in a row house and say, I don't know, one of the suburbs with a baby, and then, oh, look, who I just brought over, honey.
Yeah, and they were like, you never know what's going to happen at the Bensons.
Right.
It's and particularly, a lot of it was relegated to the weekends because poor Christy was really pounding away at the hours. But when the weekends hit, they hit hard. And then and then when we had the bar, we tended to just kind of move stuff to the bar.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
And then the neighborhood started changing, and then we had our first daughter, Isabel.
All right, well, we're going to talk about her in a moment and get her whole input on this. You are listening to the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and I am talking with Mike Benson. And Mike, you know what I forgot to do? Tell us about your restaurant in Chapel Hill.
Oh,
yeah. Small detail.
Yes, it's a restaurant made out of railroad cars.
So awesome.
In the heart of Carrboro. We bought the railroad cars at auction.
Okay.
And then built a train station around the railroad cars. And then the Turkish rug store next door that was the old station where R.E.M. played in the early 90s, that came available. So we took it also. And then when Nationwide moved out of the front, we took that also. So I think we've kind of maximized the property. It's called Southern Rail. The station is called The Station, and the front part's called The Tiger Room. And we have, we've got four bars, a beer garden, patio, coffee, bands playing in the station for no cover charge. We've had everyone from The Roots to Nick Lowe to local bands. Dex, Ron Weber plays regularly. It's
amazing.
It's a lot going on, and there's never a cover, so you wander in, wander out.
So again, it seems you have found that alcohol is the best way to make money to facilitate all of these other things. But it's fun to hear kind of how the younger years have translated into an adult lifestyle. So we were just getting to the point where you were having bands. You had started your Saint X, and
named after Saint Exupéry, who wrote The Little Prince. And sometimes people get the wrong notion when you say Saint X. They go, what is that, kind of devil cult bar? No, Saint Exupéry's nickname was Saint X, and he wrote The Little Prince, and all his friends called him Saint X. So it's an homage, aviation-themed bar, all retro-themed. And then right up the street from that, when we opened Bar Pilar is named after Hemingway's boat, and the Pilar is still down in Havana, Cuba. It's sitting on a tennis court right now.
And who's tracking that? You, apparently.
Yeah, we've actually done some work with the Hemingway Foundation. We thought when they came in and they saw T-shirts with a giant picture of Ernest Hemingway on them, we're like, well, here comes the cease and desist.
Right.
Yeah. And fortunately for us, they were like, Papa would have loved this place. You can do whatever you want. Like we allow.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, other bars that we think that are worthy of it to use his likeness, and you're fine with it. And so we've actually worked with them on a couple of historic preservation projects.
That's smart on their part.
Yeah.
Because then you're even more invested in making sure.
Keeping his memory alive.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let me just make the transition here. We had an art gallery that really was more a vehicle for lifestyle. I want to travel and I need art. So hence gallery. Oh, look, let's have, you know, some beer and wine. That's awesome. Oh, let's open a bar in a place where they do Ethiopian gambling. And that clearly went well.
Yeah.
So there you and Christy are, and you're like, oh, we're bored. So let's have a baby.
Yeah. We just felt like the time was coming to go to the next step and be parents. And from living overseas and traveling and everything else, we realized we were getting old.
Unfortunately, that happened.
Yeah, if we're going to do this, we better start getting on it. So got on it, and out came Isabel.
So Isabel was born in D.C.?
Born in D.C. at Sibley Hospital.
Oh, wow. And then they closed down Sibley soon thereafter, didn't they?
No, and then Stella was born there too. So it was, okay. I think, Sibley. I think it keeps getting renovated.
Okay, is that it?
They closed close parts of it.
Different things.
It's a very historic hospital.
That it is, and it's not a very big hospital. So, okay. So then, Isabel, how old were you when you lived in Washington, D.C.? Obviously, you were born there.
Yeah, I got to be about two or three before we moved, and then after I was like three, we moved. So.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember D.C.?
Yeah.
What do you remember about it?
Well, I remember having the old house, and we had these wooden steps, and
You would have spent a lot of time looking at those, too, because when you're little, you're all over the floor.
Row houses, and, lots of steps.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I fell down the steps.
That would happen, too. Yep. Okay, so you have two restaurants, a child, and a wife with a career that's going amazingly well. What then happened to make you want to come back to Chapel Hill, which we're glad you have?
Well, Christy, she got a job offer from Elon University.
Okay.
And those, I think she was thinking, do I want to be a partner in a law firm?
Yeah.
Or do I want to get in academia? And once the position presented itself, we had a long heart-to-heart. And it seems that as the decision was being made, all of a sudden we found out the trains were being auctioned off in Carrboro.
Okay, I'm sorry, but did you have this vision? Did you walk down the street in Carrboro and say, oh my gosh, we need to put a restaurant here with rail cars?
Actually, Chip Hoppin, who owns the merch, Chip called me. And Chip did all the t-shirts for my restaurants, still does. And Chip called me and goes, boy, these railroad cars, I just went by there and there's a big auction sign and this seems like right up your alley. You should do something with these railroad cars. And my first inclination is like, we should take them to the beach and make beach house out of them.
Yeah.
But then we realized that trucks were all rusted shut and they're not going anywhere. Right. Those things are bolted to the ground now. So we thought long and hard, and if we're going to move back, why don't we try to do a restaurant in Carrboro? And I have good people up in D.C. that work for me and watch. And so we, right as we are about to make the move back to Chapel Hill and told our parents we're moving back, then Stella, Christy
the
got pregnant.
The younger one.
Stella got pregnant. And
Christy got
two,
pregnant with Stella, Christy, yeah.
Yes, Christy got pregnant. Sorry about that. Christy got pregnant with Stella. And Stella was born in Washington, D.C., and then we immediately moved back to Chapel Hill right after she was
born. You fled D.C. and you said, Mom, help!
So, Stella, you don't have any memory of D.C., do you?
No.
No. Was she a month? How many months did she?
3 weeks old and
we
moved back.
3 weeks old. Which, having a baby is a wonderful thing. Having a baby and moving at the same time may not classify as wonderful in some situations. You're very excited about the baby, but moving is just a lot of work.
And the house wasn't quite ready. We were renovating our house on Hillsborough Street, and there was still work to do. And I now had two restaurants going and starting construction on the third. And it was kind of a hectic period in our life. And
I'd say so.
It was pretty crazy. But I think the one thing that gets you through all of it, I think the good part about going into that older phase of life of being a parent is restaurant business can be incredibly stressful.
Yes.
It is the furthest thing from being Spicoli.
Right.
All of a sudden responsibilities and taxes and payrolls and vendors and rent and everything else. But to come home and hang out with my girls is is always the kind of the therapy, I think, that makes it keeps me young.
Yeah, no, you have to stay young because otherwise you're not going to be able to relate to your own kids.
Am I a fun dad?
Yeah.
Ooh, so tell us about Mike as a dad. How would you describe your dad?
Well, I think he was a fun dad. Like when it was like my 2-year-old birthday, we were like outside playing or something, and my dad dressed up in this gorilla costume and scared everyone at the party.
I bet he did.
I didn't mean to scare him. I thought it was a gorilla costume. I thought everyone would have people are hitting me with wiffle bats. Get the gorilla out of here. Stella, what do you think?
Well, this morning I was actually like, I was climbing on him.
Mm-hmm. Dads are good for climbing. Yep.
He told me to stop, but I kept climbing on him. And then I actually hung upside down. I got my feet around him, and I hung upside down, and then I got back up, and I kept climbing. climbing on him.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear about how to transition from the young Spicoli into the older, responsible Mike Benson. You're listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to The Art of Potential Show. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with local restaurateur Mike Benson, owner of Southern Rail, and his two wonderful daughters, Isabel and Stella. So, girls, do you get to go to the restaurant a lot?
Yes.
Do you still have all three restaurants, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They've been to Bar Pilar and St. X on many of my back and forth trips, and they have taken over Southern Rail. I think it tends to help with getting over being shy when, after a while, when you start seating people at tables.
Right. So, girls, of the restaurants, which one is your favorite? Let's start with you, Stella.
Well, my favorite is Southern Rail. Actually, it's pretty fun there. And actually, Isabel, sometimes she doesn't want to go there, but she likes to.
Okay, and Isabel, which one is your favorite one?
I sort of like the restaurant St. X. I used to go there a lot when I was in Washington, D.C. I live there, and when we go on trips, it's fun, and they have some good food there.
So what's your favorite food to eat at the restaurants?
I like at St. X, I like to eat grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm. That sounds delicious. And what about you?
I just really like the grilled cheese.
So we have two big grilled cheese eaters is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good. So girls, you like to go to the restaurants. What happens when you go to the restaurants? Do they say, oh, ladies, here you are, and they seat you at a table, or do you help out?
We sometimes help out, but we play a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
There's this tree that Isabel and I like a lot, and it's really fun to climb.
I like climbing trees myself.
Sometimes some people say hi to us, like that we know and that we see a lot there.
And yeah, that's nice.
You've made friends with a lot of people there, haven't you?
Yeah.
And I think that's the nice thing about a restaurant is it can become its own chosen community.
Sure.
You know, it's, you know, the Irish pub theme, if you will. It's kind of like, you know.
I think in our proximity to Weaver Street Market helps a lot.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of families. Carrboro is a very funky town to be in. Again, being born and raised in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, what's now Tyler's Tap Room. My mother was a cashier at the grocery store there. My dad's been a pilot at Horace Williams since it was a dirt runway, and now it's being closed. And also my mother, she was one of the first tenants of University Mall and with Night Gallery.
Your mother had her own business and her own gallery of sorts, if you will?
Well, it was a lingerie.
Which Night Gallery?
Particularly in the early 70s was a little bit, and antiques, yes. And when you're in the early 70s, to be kind of going in that direction and doing it in a way that wasn't considered risque or sleazy was very difficult. And particularly when she and my father got divorced and she was a single mother with me, it was kind of a real balancing act for her trying to. I remember seeing Max, the bartender from Papagayo, coming over a lot, and you know the wine rep Michael O'Grady coming over a lot. But as I got older, I became good friends with all of them also, and then my mom remarried to Lee, who was a vice president of Central Carolina Bank for many years, and it, just watching. That whole time, the development of Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and it was, you know, I remember everyone called us a village,
and University Mall used to be the place where people really went.
I mean,
that's where we all kind of hung out back in the time.
And now it's they're trying to find their footing of where is University Mall going.
Yep.
Obviously being anchored with, you know, something like Southern Season and and George Bakashaw's place, and City Market used to be Spice Street.
Yep.
And you know, I have to, another person I really have to take my hat off to are the Danzigers.
Mm-hmm.
The old Ratskeller,
mm-hmm.
and then down the hill from that used to be the Ranch House, and they used to have the Zoom Zoom. And when people talk about, like, your restaurants are filled with all this eclectic stuff, and I'm like, that's the Danzigers would have really appreciated it. They were amazing people, and amazing restaurateurs for this town. And really, you know, I don't like a restaurant that looks like it's out of 2001 A Space Odyssey, that's very clinical and white and shiny. And I like the place that looks like it's out of The Hobbit, you know. it's been there for hundreds of years, and you know Hemingway drank at this bar.
Right.
That's the kind of place I like to hang, you know, the old Carolina coffee shop. And and a lot of people do it really well also to this day, you know, that are building places around the town. That I'm good friends with a lot of people, whether it's JB at Bobar or Kim and Tor at Milltown, and Tyler over at Tyler's Tap Room. Tyler does a great job.
How do you all know each other? Do you just, I mean, back when I was working on Franklin Street at Linda's, we would kind of go to all the different places. Is that still kind of the late night thing to do?
Not quite as much.
Yeah.
I think I'm just a little bit more gregarious, and
okay.
I like being in my own bar.
Yeah,
all four of them in one space.
It's a busy time.
but I like visiting other people.
Mm.
And it's what's really ironic is Tyler from Tyler's. He was class of 85, Chapel High School. He was 85 or 84, but right in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mouse, who owned the Cave.
Yep.
He was 85 with me.
Yep.
Jared Resnick,
Jared
West
right
End Wine Bar.
Yep.
Class of 85.
Yep.
So
Jared was 86, wasn't he?
Was he 86? He was right around there.
Yep,
he was into theater at Chapel High. I remember Jared walking around in his clogs all the time.
And he played Jesus in, not Godspell, but Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah. I really thought he was, you know, that guy's going to Broadway.
Yeah.
And instead he went to Oregon and got into beer.
And now he owns a wine bar, so go figure.
Yeah.
So, girls, Stella and Isabel, I have a question for you ladies.
Okay.
What do you see your future being like, seeing your parents and how they do? Because you got your mom who is now, she's teaching at a college, and she worked for a long time as a lawyer in a firm, which would be considered a more traditional kind of a thing. And then you've got your dad who does, he works very hard and long hours, but he's doing more kind of a non-traditional job, having a bunch of restaurants and doing that. What do you all, if you had to guess, now you're 6 and you're 10, so we're not going to record this in terms of you have to do this. It's just kind of an idea. So, Stella, what would you like to do you think? Isabel, let's ask you, what would you like to do?
Well, I wouldn't really like to do what our parents are doing now.
I understand that.
I think I might like to be either a marine biologist.
That's very popular with 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Or
a veterinarian.
A person who draws cartoons for movies.
Ooh,
and
fun.
Shows.
Okay. So like an animator type.
Mm-hmm.
Stella, yeah. you know what you want?
Well, I think I want to be like a tiger rescuer, since tigers are my favorite animal.
Fantastic.
And my second choice would actually be like, I have a few choices, but I think my second choice would be like an animal tamer.
Mm-hmm.
And my third choice would just be a singer.
Okay,
well, that brings us to what else? Christy's not just doing academia anymore. She is the lead singer of a band. What's the name of Mama's band?
Teacup Gin.
And is it doing really good?
Well, yeah.
It is doing great. They're really blowing up. They were, I think when they started, they were like number 70 something on Reverb Nation. And lately they keep ringing number 2 on Reverb Nation, North Carolina. So they've gone from...
Once they were number one.
Well, they've come close to breaking number one slot.
They once were number one.
Oh, well, good.
Well, there you go. You have just listened to the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra.